Hare Krishna, today we are very fortunate. We have His Grace Arjun Sataka Prabhuji. Prabhuji, are you there?
Hare Krishna, yes, Mataji, I am there.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances of glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Today we are reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antalila 1880 onwards, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your kind association. Please take over the call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadham Hiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamene Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadhi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gurave Gaura Chandraya, Radhikaya Tadaliye, Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha, Anandalila Maya Vigrahaya, Hema Vadivya Chavisundaraya, Tasmae Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Sriman Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I would want to prostrate myself a million times at the lotus feet of Abhay Charan Aravinda, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, because of whose causeless mercy the fruit of Vraja Prem has been spread far and wide in this dark age of Kali. Secondly, I want to express my gratitude to Prithivilasini Mataji for very kindly having me in the Sangha once again at the service of all the devotees. And lastly, I want to prostrate myself at the lotus feet of all the assembled devotees. Please pray for me so that I may speak some favorable words in the glorification of the most exalted Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Let me just quickly share my screen. Krishna Krishna. Can someone please confirm if the screen is visible?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Thank you. So this morning we are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 18, which is entitled Rescuing the Lord from the Sea, text 80 and 81. Text 80. Kalindi dekhiya ami gela na brindavana dekhi jala krida karena brajendra nandana. Translation. Seeing the river Yamuna, he said, I went to Vrindavan. There I saw the son of Nanda Maharaj performing his sporting pastimes in the water. Text 81. राधिकादि गोपी गण संगे एकत्र मेली यमुनार जले महारंगे करेण केली. लॉर्ड कृष्ण वॉज इन द वॉटर ऑफ द यमुना इन द कंपनी ऑफ द ब्रज गोपीज हेडेड बाय श्रीमती राधारानी. दे वर परफॉर्मिंग पास टाइम्स इन अ ग्रेट स्पोर्टिंग मैनर. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय. So we find that the theme of these two verses is very clear. It is water pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. But before that, just to set the scene as to what the chapter talks about. So the understanding here, the scene here is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani. Because this is a Jagannath Puri and Antilila pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is full on in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is walking at Aitota and he sees an ocean. And when he sees the ocean, naturally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is reminded of Jamuna. He's reminded of Vrindavan. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Anyera Hridayaman Moravan Vrindavan. He says, my mind is always in Braja. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radhika and Radharani never leaves Braj. So naturally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever he sees, wherever he sees, he's only reminded of Vrindavan Dham. So he sees an ocean, which is not Yamuna, but he's reminded of Yamuna. He's reminded of Vrindavan Dham. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes so ecstatic that he straight away goes and jumps into that river. And this is nighttime. There's no one around him, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just in Avesh, just goes and runs and jumps inside that ocean. And so much so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falls unconscious. And at that time, there is a fisherman. This fisherman, when he's at nighttime, he's trying to collect some fish. He's doing some fishing. And at that time, he casts his net. He puts his net. And he feels, oh, I've got a very big fish. Well, generally, the fishes are very small. But when he put his net, he thought, oh, I've got a very big fish. And this fish was called as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The fish called as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So he saw and he understood, okay, wait a minute. This is not a fish. This is a person. But seems like he's unconscious. So he brings Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to the shore. And when he brings Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to the shore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is unconscious, but he's in so much in the mood of Radharani that this fisherman is not able to understand because he doesn't know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He doesn't know the Tattva of Gauranga. And without knowing the Tattva of Gauranga, how can someone understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani? Very difficult. So he doesn't understand. And he feels that Mahaprabhu is haunted by a ghost. He feels some ghost has entered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So he begins to run from there. And at that time, Swarup Damodar Goswami comes from the opposite end. So when he sees Swarup Damodar Goswami, he says that, look at him, seems like some ghost has haunted. So at that time, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Kaviraj Goswami describes, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he slaps the fisherman and he explains to him the Siddhanta of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He explains the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and in a very loving way, he just slaps him. And that's when later the fisherman understands who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. And he understands that this is not ghost that has entered, but this is the transcendental blue ghost called Krishna who has entered the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the scene here. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being revived, that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks the following verse. So this example is given that most of us can very well relate to this example for those who are working in the corporate world. If there is an employer and there is an employee, just imagine that the employer, his daughter is getting married. And this employee's daughter is getting married and he has invited everyone for this marriage. So all his employees, everyone come for this marriage. And when they come to the stage, when they come for the marriage, naturally you have to give something. So there is this one employee who gives what we call in India as Shadi ka Shagun. He gives some money. and he gives 1,000 rupees as the shagun for the employer's daughter's marriage, because that's what he can give. He's an employee. He cannot give more than that. And the employer, he very gladly accepts it. And now after a few months, this employee's daughter is getting married, and now he invites the employer. So naturally the employer agrees, and he also comes for the marriage of the employee's daughter. But when he comes for the marriage, he doesn't just give a check of 1,000 rupees. He's the CEO of the company. He has to maintain his profile. He gives a check of 50,000 rupees because he is the CEO. For the employer, for the CEO, 50,000 rupees is not a big thing. So he gives a check of 50,000 rupees, 50 times more than what the employee gave for the employer's daughter's marriage. Now the same thing can be understood in bhakti. That employer, dear devotees, is Sri Krishna. What does Sri Krishna say? Krishna says, "Ye yatha mam prapadhyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham." Krishna says, "I reciprocate." But not just reciprocate. Krishna reciprocates a million times more than what we give him. And there are so many examples that illustrate this point. We have Draupadi. Once it so happened that Krishna, his hand was cut. And Krishna was bleeding from his hand. And immediately when Draupadi saw, without a second thought, she cut a piece of her sari and gave it to Sri Krishna and tied it around the finger of Sri Krishna. And at that time, Sri Krishna said that, "It's an expensive sari. Why are you cutting it?" She said, "Krishna, this is not more expensive than your finger. Krishna, for me, your finger is more expensive." So she just cut a portion of her sari. But what did Krishna do? When she required the most, Krishna, he gave a sari bhandar. It was a Govinda sari bhandar. Sari just kept coming and coming and coming. Draupadi gave only one piece of sari, but Krishna gave much more than what she offered. Second example, in Vrindavan, the fruit seller. When the fruit seller came to Vrindavan, she just had fruits. And when she saw Krishna, she gave that fruit. She offered that fruit. That Krishna, Shukadev Goswami very beautifully says, that Krishna who offers the fruits to everyone, that Krishna was being the fruit of being offered the fruits by that fruit seller. So Krishna took all the fruits, and when Krishna went inside in order to reciprocate to her, Krishna just didn't give back some mere fruits in return. Krishna just didn't give some grains, but the whole basket, the whole tokri was filled with jewels, much more than what she gave. Just like the employee gave 1,000, but the employer gives 50,000. Similarly, Krishna maintains his profile. We give X, Krishna gives 50X. Just like Draupadi gave little sari, Krishna gave a sari bhandar. The fruit seller gave little fruits, Krishna gave jewels in return. But, dear devotees, this promise of ye yatha mam prapadyante, this promise fails miserably with the Braja Gopis. This promise works with everyone, but it fails with the Braja Gopis. Pratigya bhanga hoila gopira bhajane. Krishna's pratigya. What was the pratigya? That he will reciprocate. The way we approach, that way Krishna will reciprocate. That pratigya was broken with the Braja Gopis. Pratigya bhanga hoila gopira bhajane. Why? Because 5,000 years back, the Braja Gopis, just by hearing one flute sound of Shyamasundar, they left everything. They left their home. They left their husbands. They left their in-laws. They left everyone, not even thinking whether the husbands will take them back, not thinking whether they can enter that house again, not thinking what the society will think. The Braja Gopis did not think anything. Just by one flute sound, the Gopis left everything and ran to Krishna. And dear devotees, in the present day itself, we find if a lady is there outside all night, naturally when she comes back, there are tons and tons of questions that her family is going to ask, the society is going to ask. What to speak of 5,000 years in the past? The Gopis did not care for anything. They just ran to Krishna, one flute sound. And Krishna had not expected this kind of surrender. This prema Krishna had not expected. Krishna said, I will reciprocate. But Krishna didn't think that there can be someone who can give themselves so much to him. When they came to Krishna, the Brajagopis did not ask for anything. The Brajagopis absolutely did not ask for anything. Krishna just played the flute. And when Krishna asked them, what do you want? They said, Krishna, we don't want anything. We just want you. Prema vina vyartha daridra jivan. They say, Krishna, without prema, without love, our life is daridra. Our life is useless. And this is not just a statement by the Brajagopis. This is actually an instruction for all of us. Without love of Godhead, human life is a complete waste. Every day, endeavor has to be done to reach that goal of achieving prema. So the gopis, when they see Krishna, they say, prema vina vyartha daridra jivan. Hey Krishna, without prema for you, our life is vyartha. And dasakori vyathana more. Oh Krishna, oh Shamasundar, we don't want anything from you. It's almost like Krishna asked them, oh Brajagopis, what do you want? The Brajagopis say, we don't want anything. Dasakori vyathana more. Krishna, make us your das and give us the salary of love. Krishna, don't give us the salary of Lakshmi. We don't want Lakshmi. We don't want money. That dhanam that we are all aspiring for. Externally in the morning we say, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. But in the heart it is more dhanam, more janam, more sundarim. Like in one class, His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu was saying, when we sing the Tulsi Arti, we say, seva adhikara diye koro nija dasi. But inside the heart is saying, seva audi kar diye koro nija dasi. We want an audi car. We want more dhanam. We want more janam. So externally we say, na dhanam, na janam. But the heart says, more dhanam, more janam. But the Brajagopis, they tell Krishna, dasakuri vyathanamore. Krishna, we don't want Lakshmi. We want the salary of love. Krishna, please just accept us. We don't want anything. And this mood of the Brajagopis, this goes a million times higher when it comes to Srimati Radharani. When Krishna left Vrindavan Dham, Radharani was crying. She was weeping. There were like torrential rains from her eyes. It's almost like her eyes were like a cloud and the cloud bursted and her eyes were just moist and she was constantly weeping and crying. At that time, Radharani says, I have no love for Shyamasundar. I have no love for Krishna. This is interesting. If Radharani is saying she has no love for Krishna, then why is she crying? And Radharani says, can the fish live without water? If the fish is taken out of water, will the fish survive? Will the fish live? The answer is no, the fish will die. And Radharani says, the fish, when it is taken out of water, the fish doesn't survive, the fish dies. But look at me. I am separated from the blue waters of Sri Krishna and I am still living, which only means I have no love for Shyamasundar. I have no love for Krishna. This is a very high mood. This is a very high mood of the Brajagopis, especially Srimati Radharani. She says, the blue waters of Shyamasundar has left Vrindavan, but look at me. My life air is still in the body, which means I have no prema. But Radharani, even when Krishna had left, there was always a hope against hope. She was always hoping that Krishna will come back. Because Krishna promised that he will come back in 3 days. So she was always hoping that Shyamasundar will come back. And even though Krishna was in Mathura, there were two ways in which Radharani would meet Shyamasundar. The first way Radharani would meet with Krishna is she would anticipate, okay, Krishna is coming. Krishna is coming. Krishna promised. Krishna is coming. Krishna is coming. So like, for example, if you're always thinking of a person, naturally, because of that thought, we are internally with that person. Externally, we may be separated, but because that thought is always there in our mind, we're internally there with that person. Similarly, Radharani was always thinking, Krishna is coming. My Shyamasundar is coming. He promised to me 3 days, he will come back. So that is first kind of meeting. Internally, she is meeting with Krishna. But the second kind of meeting is when that Krishna jumps into the heart of Radharani and steals the heart, steals the bhav, steals the complexion and comes out as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Black inside, golden outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just Krishna. It is Radha, Radharani in the mood of separation, Radha Bhav. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking the mood of Srimati Radharani. It's almost like, for example, if it is my friend's birthday and I go up to my friend and I tell him that, oh friend, can you give me $100? And he says, why do you want $100? And I say, if you give me $100, from that $100, I can buy a gift for you. And the friend says, wait a minute, it is my birthday. You're coming to my house and asking money from me in order to buy a gift from me. Arey Baba, at least have some shame. Use your own money to buy a gift. Why are you using my money? This is what Krishna does. Krishna takes the complexion of Radharani. Krishna takes the sentiments of Radharani. Krishna takes the emotion, the bhav of Radharani in order to glorify Radharani. So nothing belongs to Krishna. He takes everything from Radhika in order to glorify Radhika. So he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha, not different from Radha and Krishna. Radha Krishna eka atma duhi deha dhari. Radha and Krishna are eternally one. But in Dwapar, they took two forms, Dui Dehadari. But that too, in Kali, becomes one, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's very clear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes down, the only aim of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is to taste Radha Bhav, is to taste the emotions, the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. Anarpita charim chirat karunaya avatirna kalau samarpaitum unnata ujjvala rasam svabhakti shriyam hari purata sundara dvidikadamba sandipitaha sadaradaya kandare spuratuva sachidandanaha radhakrishna pranaya vikratir ladhini shaktirasmat ekat manav apibhuvipuram deha bhedau gatautau chaitanyakhyam prakatamaduna tadvayam chaikyamaptam radha bhavadviti suvalitam naomi krishna swarupam radhaya pranaya mahima ki drishova nayena swadhyayena bhuta madhurima ki drishova madhiya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, text 4, 5 and 6. Very important verses. These three verses signify the internal reasons why Gauranga appeared. Kaviraj Goswami is so ecstatic that he cannot hold in his heart. So when the Adilila begins, within the first few verses itself, he gives the internal reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appearing. And in all the three verses, he says the only reason why Gauranga appears is to experience Radha Bhav. Radha Bhavad Viti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. To see from the spectacles of Radharani as to what she feels when she sees Shyama Sundar Shri Krishna. And we see when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he appeared, he took initiation from Ishwarapuri. And after he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, he later goes on to take sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. But still, there is a vacuum in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. His heart is still hankering for more. Dil mange more. His heart is still hankering for more. There is something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has still not got. He has the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He has Ishwarapuri as his guru. He has also taken sannyas. But there is something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has still not achieved. The purpose for which Gauranga has come down, that is to taste Radha Bhav, that is still pending. Mahaprabhu has still not achieved it. And in order to relish this aspect, that is of Radha Bhav, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Jagannath Puri walks all the way to the bank of Godavari to meet Roy Ramananda. Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Sakhi. It's very interesting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri and Swarup Damodar is in Jagannath Puri. So ideally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have asked Swarup Damodar, who is Lalita Sakhi, about Radha Bhav. Why is Gauranga walking all the way to meet Rai Ramananda to South India in order to hear from him? What is it that Rai Ramananda has that Swarup Damodar doesn't have? Well, the understanding is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the reason he walks all the way to meet Rai Ramananda is Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Sakhi. And Vishakha Sakhi and Radharani have the same mood. Both of them are called as Madhya Naika Gopis. Both of them have the same mood, same bhav. Why? Because both of them appeared on the same day. Both of them appeared on the same time, which means both of them have the same astrological chart. which means both of them will have the same inclinations, the same tendencies. While on the contrary, while on the flip side, Lalita Sakhi appeared 27 days before Radharani and Vishakha. And in the spiritual world, 27 days is a very big thing. It's a very big thing. So Lalita Sakhi, because she appears before Radharani and Vishakha, her mood is different. She is called as a Pragalbha Gopi. She is very fiery, very bold. She controls Radharani. But on the contrary, Vishakha and Radharani have the same mood. So it is for this reason, in order to understand Radharani, Vishakha Sakhi, who is having the same mood, can explain Radha Bhav better than anyone else. For this reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walks all the way to Raya Ramananda and hears about Radharani from him. So in this section, we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing Radharani and Krishna and Vrindavan and seeing their Yamuna pastimes and seeing their water pastimes, Jalakeli pastimes. He's in the mood of Radharani. But it is of paramount importance to know that it is Raya Ramananda who helped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu develop this mood of Radha Bhav. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting the holy name. Kiba mantra dila gosai, kiba tara bal, japite japite mantra karela pagal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, O Gosai, O Ishwarapuri, O Guru Maharaj, what mantra have you given me? Japite japite mantra karela pagal. Every time I chant, my mind goes crazy. But still, there was a vacuum that he wanted to experience. That is Radha Bhav. So here we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing the Vrindavan pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the Madhurya pastimes, and the whole and soul credit for this goes to Raya Ramananda. It was Raya Ramananda who instigated the fire. He rekindled the fire in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. That's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to taste Radharani's mood. And now in order to glorify Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting Radha Bhav, but he also glorifies Radharani. And the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Srimati Radharani is by the chanting of the holy name, is by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is no other activity in Kali Yuga that supersedes the chanting of the holy name. Krite tad dhyayate Vishnum tretayam yajator makai dvapare paricharyayam kalau tad hari kirtana. Yad apnoti tad apnoti kalau tad keshava. Whatever was achieved in the previous yugas can simply be achieved in this yuga by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Harinam is the most powerful limb in this dark age of Kali. And we find that time and again when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes unconscious, it is the holy name that is used. It is the weapon of holy name that is used in order to bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to consciousness. We find in the 17th chapter also when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes ecstatic, it is the holy name that is chanted in his ear and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes back to consciousness. And in this section also, dear devotees, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rescued from the ocean and brought back to the shore, Swarup Damodar Goswami chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the ear of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes back to consciousness. That's when he comes back to consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has this yearning desire in his heart. For example, if there is a sugar ball, sugar cube, and if you keep the sugar cube on the ground, what happens? Immediately, within few minutes, there are ants from all ends that come and they start eating that sugar cube. They completely devour that sugar cube. They eat every aspect. They taste every aspect. The sweetness of the sugar cube is tasted by those ants. So the sugar cube feels to itself, what is it in me that the ants are getting attracted? I am a sugar cube myself, but I am not able to taste my own sweetness. But the ants are coming and tasting my sweetness. How I wish I become that ant, and from the perspective of the ant, I taste my own sweetness. This is what Krishna thinks. Krishna is like that sugar cube. He is Rasa Raj. He's the king of all rasas. And when Radharani comes and tastes the sweetness of Sri Krishna, Krishna is not able to understand. Just like the sugar ball is not able to understand as to what is it that the ants are getting attracted to. And naturally, Rasaraj Sri Krishna decides to switch positions, and he decides to take the position of Srimati Radharani in order to understand his own sweetness. That is the mood of Srimati Radharani, Radha Bhav. And in the endeavor of doing this, he starts spreading the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And every time he falls to the ground unconscious, we find Hari Nam Prabhu is chanted in the ear of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So this sets the first part of the pastime. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was brought back to consciousness by the power of Hari Nam Prabhu. Now what happens in the second part is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes back to consciousness, and that is when he chants these two verses. Swarup Damodar Goswami is questioning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, hey Chaitanya, oh Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did you see? What is it that you saw in the ocean that you fell unconscious? And at that time, the first thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, he says, oh Swarup Damodar, I was in Vrindavan. He says, I was in Braja, Braj Mandal. Very interesting. There are three ways by which we can be in Vrindavan. We can be in Vrindavan first, physical, Vrajavas, being physically present. Like Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Instruction, he says, Tishthan Vrajetad Anuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayed Akhilam Iti Upadesha Saram. He says, Tishthan Vraje, go to Vrindavan, live physically in Vrindavan. That's the first, living physically in Braja. Second is to mentally live in Vrindavan, but this is very difficult, very extremely difficult, very presumptuous. Till the time one is not chanting the pure name, one cannot mentally reside in Vrindavan. Nam Aparad doesn't have that power to help us mentally live in Vrindavan. So living mentally in Vrindavan is very, very, very difficult. Not impossible, but very difficult for Kanishtha Adhikaris. At least speaking for myself, mentally is very difficult. So the first is to physically live in Vrindavan. Second is to mentally live in Vrindavan. But the third, Kaviraj Goswami says, is the best. Kaviraj Goswami says, Jai Sthane Vaishnava Jan Sei Sthane Vrindavan. Wherever there are Vaishnavas, that place is Braja. Wherever there is Harikatha and Harikirtan, that place is not different from Braja. So this call right now, where there is Harikatha and Harikirtan and all the exalted devotees are present on this call, dear devotees, this place is not different from Braja. Jai Sthane Vaishnava Jan Sei Sthane Vrindavan. Wherever there are Vaishnavas, that place is Braja. Because the Vaishnavas don't know anything apart from Krishna. And Krishna doesn't know anything apart from the Vaishnavas. So naturally, the Vaishnavas only speak of Krishna and Vrindavan. And very obvious, that place is not different from Braja. So that these are three types of Brajavas. To live physically, to live mentally, and Jai Sthane Vaishnavajan, Sei Sthane Vrindavan. Wherever there are Vaishnavas, that place is Braja. Now, interestingly, we find, who is asking these questions to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami is asking, my dear Lord, what did you see? And it's very interesting to note that Swarup Damodar Goswami did not go to Vrindavan. He never went to Vrindavan. But in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Swarup Damodar Goswami is called as a Brajavasi. He never went to Vrindavan. But in the pages of CC, he's called as a Brajavasi, which means it's not just physically going to Vrindavan that constitutes being a Brajavasi. And it's not just being mentally in Vrindavan that constitutes being a Brajavasi. If someone is constantly absorbed in chanting and hearing, then that person is not different from being a Brajavasi. Constant absorption. Not that we give space, not that we space out. Constant 24-hour absorption. Kirtaniya Sadahari. If someone can be absorbed in this fashion, then even if he is living in any part of the world, whether it is India or America, if there is constant absorption, then that person is not different from Brajavasi. So this is so hope-giving that Swarup Damodar Goswami didn't go to Braja, but Kaviraj Goswami calls him as a Brajavasi in the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, we find that he says, I was in Vrindavan. I was in that land of Braja. And what did Mahaprabhu see? Mahaprabhu here, he sees the Jalakeli pastimes. He sees the water pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Now, these are very deep and very intimate pastimes of Radharani and Krishna. This whole Antalila section is very deep. And I genuinely want to express my inability to touch on these aspects because I am personally not qualified and I have no realization of any of these deep esoteric aspects of Krishna and Vrindavan, especially with the Braja Gopis and these beautiful water pastimes. But nonetheless, we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radhika here, and he's saying that he's seeing all the Jalakeli pastimes in this land of Braja. So his grace, his holiness Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj would very beautifully say that what constitutes being a Brajavasi? A Brajavasi is someone who follows Srimati Radharani, who follows a Brajagopi. In order to be a Brajavasi, we have to follow a Brajavasi. We have to follow a Brajagopi. And the best form of Brajagopi is Sri Guru. Gaur Govinda Maharaj would say, because Sri Guru is Radha Priya Sakhi. This is how he would coin it. He would say, Sri Guru is Radha Priya Sakhi. He is Radharani's very dear servant. So if someone is sold out to Sri Guru, to the lotus feet of Sri Guru, then naturally he is a Brajavasi, because Sri Guru is Radha Priya Sakhi and he is very dear to Srimati Radharani. So naturally, by following the instructions of Guru Maharaj, by serving his lotus feet, that person is not different from being a Brajavasi, and he is always living in this beautiful land of Vrindavan Dham. So we find that here the theme is Jalakeli, water pastimes. And our acharyas, they very beautifully give many pastimes, but one of them is very prominent and very famous. Devotees would have heard it at different instances from different speakers. Once Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis, they reached a place called as Manasi Ganga. Manasi Ganga is a place in Vrindavan that Krishna, from his mind, he removed Gangaji. That Ganga which flows in Navadvip in Mayapur, Sri Krishna from his mind removed Ganga, and that Ganga it appeared in Vrindavan Dham. So it's called as Manasi Ganga. And Manasi Ganga is also the place where Sripad Sanatan Goswami did bhajan for a very long time at Chakreshwar Mahadev. So at Manasi Ganga, when the Brajagopis and Radharani, headed by Srimati Radharani, when they came to Manasi Ganga, they had butter pots in their head and they wanted to cross Manasi Ganga. Why? Because they wanted to go to the other side in order to sell these butter pots in Mathura. Because Mathura is a city and Vrindavan is a village. So the gopis would think that if they sell this butter pot in Mathura, then they can sustain their livelihood. So they wanted to cross over Manasi Ganga. And when they came there, they saw a boatman. And they asked the boatman that, will you help us cross over Manasi Ganga? And the boatman said, what will I get in return? I should also get something in return. So the Brajagopi said, we have no money. What will we give you? So the boatman said, what is there on your head? The Brajagopi said, oh, this is butter. So this boatman said, then can you give me some butter? Let that be the price for taking you across. The Brajagopi said, okay, fair enough, good deal. You can take us across and we will give you this butter. So the deal was set. The Brajagopis, headed by Radharani, they got onto the boat, and this boatman, he began to row. And they went halfway and this boatman just stopped. He sat down, he stopped. So Radharani asked, what happened? Why did you stop rowing? So this boatman, he said that, I'm very tired. I've rowed for a long time. I'm very tired. Radharani said, well, if you don't row, then we will sink. And Manasi Ganga is a place where there are waves. So if you don't row, then we will not be able to go to the other side. So this boatman said, I don't know, I'm very tired. So Radharani said, what is it that we can give you so that your energy level shoots up? And this boatman says, well, you said there is some butter, right, in these pots? And Radharani said, yes, do you want some butter? And the boatman said, sure, if you give me some butter, then I will get some energy. So then I can row the boat. So then Radharani gives butter and this boatman sits and starts eating. And this eating goes on for quite some time, eating and eating and eating and eating. And Radharani says, wait a minute, I thought you were going to eat one pot, but seems like you're just eating one pot after another and you're not even taking us to the other side. So I order you that you stop eating and start rowing. So this boatman said, okay, then he started again rowing. And he raced a little ahead. And then he again stopped. Now, what happened was the waves of Manasi Ganga were increasing. So the boat was kind of moving left and right, left and right, left and right. So Radharani and the Brajagopis became very afraid. They asked the boatman, what happened? Why is it that the boat is moving? And this boatman, he said, oh, well, that's because there is a lot of weight in this boat. So you have to throw something back in the water because this boat cannot carry so much weight. So the gopis asked, what can we throw? And this boatman, he said, throw all the butter pots in the water. So that will reduce the bhar, that will reduce the weight. So without a second thought, the Brajagopis, whatever butter pot they had, they started throwing it in Mansi Ganga. And then the boat was stabilized. It was stable. And then he again began to row. And he went a little ahead. Again, there was waves. And again, the boat was moving left and right and left and right. And now Radharani has, Are Baba, now what happened? Last time we threw the butter pots. Now what happened? This boatman said, oh no, there is still weight in this boat. You still have to throw something. And the Brajagopis, they asked, what can we throw? Whatever we had, we gave. This boatman, he said, well, you have all these jewels. Throw these jewels. These jewels are adding to the weight. Radharani said, jewels are adding to the weight of the boat? What logic is this? Boatman said, there's no time for logic. If you want to cross to the other side, you just follow what I'm saying. So the Brajagopi said, okay. And whatever jewels they had, they threw it in Mansi Ganga. And this boatman was again rowing the boat. Like in English, they say, row, row, row your boat. Where is this coming from? This is Krishna's pastime. It is that person who is rowing the boat is Krishna. And this is Manasi Ganga pastime. Row, row, row your boat. Like when children are small, they are taught these nursery rhymes. This is Manasi Ganga pastime. Everything is coming from Krishna. Everything in this world is coming from Krishna. So Krishna is rowing. And after some time, the butter pot is thrown. The jewels are thrown. And now what happens is the boat is again left, right, left, right. And the water level is again increasing. So now the Srimati Radharani in the Brajagopi says, now what happened? We have given everything. Now what are we supposed to do? And it so happened that the boat, this boatman said, oh, you see, there are some holes now in the boat because the tide is increasing. So now there are some holes. So water is getting inside. So at this time, Radharani becomes so afraid that she clings on to the boatman. And she says, Rakshaswamam, protect me. She says, protect me. And she holds on to the boatman. At that time, when she holds on to the boatman, her eyes are closed. And then she just opens one eye just to see what is happening outside. She opens one eye and she opens one eye. Behind the boatman, tucked to the waist, is a flute. Behind in the waist is a flute. And Radharani looks and sees the flute. And she says, aha, seems like this is not a boatman. This is Krishna. This is Shyamasundar. And Krishna has tricked us once again. Krishna always comes in disguise. We see even during Kusum Sarovar pastime, Krishna comes as a gardener. During Dan Ghati pastime, Krishna comes as a tax collector. During once when Radharani was in Man, Krishna comes as Kalavati Sakhi, as a singer, as a heavenly singer. Every time he comes in disguise. So in this time, Radharani says, wait a minute. Seems like now this is a new form that Krishna has taken to disguise me. He has come in the form of a boatman. And she immediately leaves the hand of Krishna. It's very interesting, dear devotees, that the Brajagopis and Radharani, they are not married to Krishna. They are not married to Krishna. It's very interesting that when the Brajagopis were unmarried, all the Brajagopis wanted to marry Krishna. Because why not? Krishna is so powerful. At the age of 7, he's lifting Giriraj. He is dancing on the slippery hoods of Kaliya. He is drinking forest fire just like we drink lassi. Krishna is doing everything so effortlessly. Why wouldn't any girl want to marry Krishna? So all the unmarried Brajagopis wanted to marry Krishna. But at this time, Paurnamasi Devi, who is the Arishthatri Devi, like who orchestrates the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Vrinda Devi and Paurnamasi Devi are the two personalities who orchestrate Radha and Krishna's pastime. They decide at what time they meet, where, and how the pastime has to go. So at that time, Paurnamasi thinks to herself, if the Brajagopis get married to Krishna, then what is the difference between Vrindavan and Dwarka? Because in Dwarka, the queens are married to Krishna. And if in Vrindavan also these Brajagopis get married to Krishna, what is the difference between Braj and Dwarka? In Dwarka, there is Swakya. But I have to make sure that in Vrindavan, Parakya Ras is kept as the most prominent thing. We see in this famous song, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, in one of the last verses, the author, he says, Jaya Jaya Ujwala Rasa Sarvarasa Sar Parakhiya Bhave Jaha Brajate Prachar. Parakhiya Bhav Brajate Prachar. This is the Prachar that is done in Braj, that is Parakhiya Ras. So now Paurnamasi was thinking that if these gopis get married to Krishna, then there is no difference between Dwaraka and Vrindavan. I have to make sure that Vrindavan is superior to Dwaraka. So what does Paurnamasi Devi do? She invites Gargacharya. At that time, Gargacharya was in Mathura. Who is Gargacharya? Gargacharya named Krishna and Balaram. For the naming ceremony, Nanda Baba invited Gargacharya. So he did the naming ceremony. So now Paurnamasi Devi again invites Gargacharya from Mathura to Vrindavan. And Gargacharya has no idea. It's almost like he's being pulled to Vrindavan Dham. And when he reaches Vrindavan, he sees Paurnamasi Devi. So he understands that, okay, there is some service that Paurnamasi Devi wants from me. That's the reason she has asked me to come to Vrindavan Dham. She comes to Braja. Gargacharya comes to Vrindavan. And Paurnamasi says, look, these Brajagopis want to get married to Krishna, but I want them to get married to someone else. So you chalk out a plan and make sure that they get married to someone else and make sure that Parakhiya Ras is maintained in Vrindavan. So Gargacharya says, okay, you leave that to me. I will take care. Now Gargacharya is an astrologer also. He's not just good at giving names. He's also an astrologer. He had seen Krishna and Balaram's chart. So what Gargacharya does is he goes to the house of the first Brajagopi and says that, can I see the chart of your daughter? I got to know that she's about to get married to Krishna. So I'm an astrologer and I can see the chart. I can see how their life is going to shape. And the parents of the Brajagopi, they say, of course, here is the chart. Can you see and can you tell us? And at this point, Gargacharya, what he does is he sees the chart. And he says, your daughter could have married Krishna, but I have to say this with a very heavy heart that if your daughter gets married to Krishna, then there will be calamities in our life. There will be great calamities, not only in her life, but also in the life of Krishna. Her life can be at stake. So my advice is make sure she doesn't marry Krishna. On the flip side, I have this Gopa who's living in Vrindavan. You can get your daughter married to this Gopa. Their charts align very well, but your daughter's chart doesn't align with Krishna. And if parents, they say, oh, we didn't know this. We didn't see this. Oh, Gargacharya, thank you so much for saying we will do as you say. We will get our daughters married to that Brajagopa. In this way, Gargacharya went to every house with the same excuse. Every house, he kept saying the same thing that, oh, your daughter cannot get married to Krishna. Your daughter cannot get married to Krishna. He did that in every house. And that's how all the Brajagopis ended up marrying everyone else and not Krishna. And that is how Parakhiya Ras was maintained in Brajadham. And Paurnamasi Devi's desire got fulfilled. So now these Brajagopis who are there on this boat with Radha and Krishna, with Radharani and Krishna. And likewise, in this section, we find this Brajagopis and Radharani. They're performing Jalakeli pastimes. They are not married to Krishna. This is Parakhiya Ras. And it is Paurnamasi Devi who arranged Parakhiya Ras to be prominent in the land of Vrindavan. So after Radharani saw the flute, everyone understood that this boatman is Krishna. And then Krishna again began to laugh and he began to row the boat again and he helped the Brajagopis cross over to the other side. Dear devotees, what can we learn from this water pastime, this Manasiganga water pastime of Radha and Krishna? The first thing, it is Krishna who helped the Brajagopis cross over the water from one side to another. Similarly, in Kali, it is Krishna's holy name that will help us cross over this unsurmountable ocean of repeated birth and death. Just like Krishna helped the Brajagopis cross over Manasi Ganga, similarly, it is his holy name in Kali that will help us cross over this deep ocean, deep, vast ocean of repeated birth and death, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. Second, we find in this pastime, the boat developed holes, but Krishna, through his Shakti, he sealed those holes. Similarly, we also have the holes in our life, which means anarthas. We have six holes. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mad, Matsarya. We have six holes, just like the boat had holes. But just like Krishna sealed those holes, similarly, his holy name can seal those holes. The Srimad Bhagavatam 8th canto says, Tantratas, Mantratas, Chidras, Desha, Kalartha, Vastutaha, Sarvam, Karoti, Nischidram, Anusankirtanam, Thava. How much ever Chidram is there? In Hindi, we say Ched, which means hole. So, Sarvam Karoti Nischidram, all the holes that the Jiva has in the form of Anarthas, Sarvam Karoti Nischidram Anu Sankirtanam Tava. By the Sankirtan, by the chanting of the holy names of Radha and Krishna, all those holes in our life can be completely fulfilled. Just like Krishna, he sealed those holes. It's chanting of the holy name is almost like an M seal. In India, we find we get this M seal. Whenever there is a water leakage, we have M seal. Similarly, in bhakti, we have M seal called as Mukunda seal. Mukunda, chanting of his names, that's like a seal, Mukunda seal. It seals the anarthas of our heart, the six anarthas, M seal, Mukunda seal. So it's very important that in Kali, we prioritize the chanting of the holy name. And this flute that is always there with Krishna, this flute that helped Radharani understand that this boatman is not a normal boatman, but he's Krishna himself. And this flute, which is so dear to Krishna, that flute slips from the hand of Krishna when Radharani just looks at Krishna once. Prabodhananda Saraswati in Radharas Sudhanidhi, he says, Venum karani patitam skalitam shikandam brastan chapita vasanam rajaraja suno tasya katakshasara ghata vimurchitasya tam radhika paricharami kadarasena. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, he says, Venum karani patitam. What happens when Radharani looks at Krishna? Sidelong glance. It is not even a straight glance. One sidelong glance. When Radhika looks at Krishna, one sidelong glance. Venum karani patitam, that Venu, it starts shivering and it slips from Krishna's hand. And brastancha pita vasanam brajaraja suno, the upper cloth that Krishna wears, that also slips from his shoulders. Shikhandam, the peacock feather that Krishna has, that peacock feather falls to the ground. This is all by one sidelong glance of Radhika. So much so that Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Tasya katakshasara ghata vimurchitasya. Bhagavan vimurchit ho jate hai. In Hindi we say vimurchit, which means unconscious. That Lord becomes vimurchit. He falls to the ground unconscious by just one sidelong glance of Radharani. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, when will I get the service of the lotus feet of that Srimati Radharani? So Krishna is not able to understand this mood of Radharani. As to how is it that just by one sidelong glance, my Venu is falling, my peacock feather is falling, my upper cloth is falling, and I'm falling to the ground unconscious. To understand this Radha Bhav, this mood of Radharani, that the love that she is having in her heart, Krishna comes down as Gauranga Mahaprabhu and experiences all these beautiful, wonderful pastimes like the Jalakeli pastime that is described here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just remembering pastimes in Jamuna, but there is waves of pastimes that are flooding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind and his heart And this pastime of Manasiganga is one of the very prominent pastimes that took place when Radha and Krishna were present during Dwapar Yuga. So we find after all these wonderful water pastimes that Radha and Krishna perform, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing everything now. And now in the mood of Radharani, when that same Shyamasundar, after performing the Jalakeli pastimes, the water pastimes, when that same Shyamasundar leaves Vrindavan, we can imagine how much of a thunderbolt it is to the heart of Radharani. Krishna, who spent 10 and a half years in Vrindavan with the Brajagopis, after that, when he leaves Vrindavan, this was too much for Radharani to bear. This was like a thunderbolt to her heart. That is why when Uddhava comes to Vrindavan and Radharani is speaking to the bumblebee, the famous Brahmar Gita in Canto 10, chapter 47. At that time, when Radharani is speaking to the bumblebee, in transcendental madness, Radharani says, Vrindavana Govardhan Yamuna Pulinavan Se Kunjera Rasadi Kalila Se Vrajera Vrajajan Mata Pita Bandugan Bada Chitra Kemone Pasarila Se Hoy Amaraman Nahi Smare Vrajajan Se Hoy Durdaiva Vilas. Srimati Radharani, she says that, O Krishna, Vrindavan, you forgot Vrindavan. Govardhan, you forgot all the pastimes that we had in Govardhan. Yamuna Pulinavan, Krishna, you forgot the water pastimes that we had in Yamuna. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing the water pastimes here. Radharani, there again, she says the same point. She says, Krishna, you forgot that water pastime also? Vrindavan, Govardhan, Yamuna Pulinavan, Se Kunjera Rasadika Leela. You forgot the Kunjas of Vrindavan. You forgot the Rasasthali, Krishna, the Nidhivan and the Seva Kunj. You forgot everything? Okay, Krishna, understood. You forgot Vrindavan. You forgot Govardhan. You forgot Yamuna. You forgot the Kunjas. You forgot the Rasasthali. Understood. But Radharani says, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Yamuna, Pulinavan, Se Sabha, Rasadika, Leela, Se Vrajera, Vrajajan. You forgot the Vrajajan. You forgot the Vrajavasis. Krishna understood. Theke, you forgot them also. Mata Pita Bandugan. Hey, Krishna, you forgot your Mata Pita. You forgot Nanda and Yashoda. That Nanda and Yashoda who gave you everything. You forgot them also? Krishna, bada chitra kemone pasarila. This is very astonishing. Krishna, how can you be so ungrateful? The Brajavasis gave so much to you and in return you left them. You just ran away from Vrindavan, Krishna. Bada chitra kemone pasarila. This is very astonishing. Se hoy tumara man nahis mare Brajajan. Hey Krishna, your mind is not remembering the Brajavasis. It is not remembering these pastimes. It is not remembering the Jalakeli pastimes, the Yamuna pastimes that we had. Se hoy durdaiva vilas. Hey Krishna, this is not your fault. Krishna, don't think this is your fault. Se hoy durdaiva vilas. This is our durdaiva. This is our ill fortune. Radharani says, this is my ill fortune. This is my misfortune. Krishna, we don't hold anything against you. This is our misfortune. Se hoy durdaiva vilas. She speaks all this to the bumblebee. Who is that bumblebee, dear devotees? That is Krishna himself. There again, Krishna comes in disguise. Because Krishna knows if he comes in the same form as Tribhanglali Chamsundar, the Brajavasis will not allow him to go back. So Krishna again in disguise comes as the bumblebee. And Radharani is weeping and crying all this, that Krishna, after performing all these pastimes, how did you leave all of us? How did your heart not feel for all of us? We gave so much for you, Krishna. We left our families for you. And what did you do? You left Vrindavan and you ran away. And when Krishna, as the bumblebee, is hearing all this, Krishna is having tears in his eyes. Krishna is thinking to himself, how is it that Radharani is having so much love and I'm not able to reciprocate to her love? How I wish I take the mood and sentiments of Srimati Radharani and understand from her eyes as to what she feels when she sees me. And when that same Krishna in Kali Yuga comes down as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani, and when he's seeing all these pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having transformations, unimaginable transformations, so much so that when he's jumping and falling down, it's almost like a bag of bones that falls down to the ground. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falls to the ground completely unconscious every single time when he witnesses these pastimes. and it is Swarup Damodar and Roy Ramananda. Every time, Lalita, who are Lalita and Vishaka Sakhi, who help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revive, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharani. And Swarup Damodar and Vishaka are Lalita, Swarup Damodar and Roy Ramananda are Lalita and Vishaka. And Lalita and Vishaka are always there with Srimati Radharani. So that is why in the Antilila, in the Gambhira pastimes, Swarup Damodar and Roy Ramananda are always there serving Radharani, because no one can understand that mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apart from both of them. So here also we find when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing this Jalakeli pastimes, it is Swarup Damodar who comes to the rescue and holds up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's asking, "My dear Lord, what did you see?" And that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Hey Swarup Damodar, I saw Jamuna, I saw Krishna, I saw the Braja Gopis, and there was Jalakeli pastimes in Jamuna. I saw all the water pastimes that Krishna did in the land of Vrindavan. And seeing all of that, O Swarup Damodar, I fell to the ground." And as we discussed earlier, no one could understand it. The fisherman could not understand it. It's only when Swarup Damodar Goswami gave his mercy to that fisherman, that's when he could understand. So it's very important. These sections cannot be understood without Sri Guru's mercy, who is Radha Priya Sakhi. Without Sri Guru's mercy, we may speak about these pastimes, but for these pastimes to touch our heart, for realizations to touch our heart, we need the mercy of very exalted Vaishnavas, Brajarasik sadhus, who are seeing and witnessing these pastimes. When they shower their mercy, that's when we can actually hope to understand even an iota of this pastime. So again, reiterating the point, as Guru Govinda Maharaj would say, service to Sri Guru, service to Radha Priya Sakhi is very important. And finally, to wrap up, we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our life and soul is Srimati Radharani. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani. And even as Gaudiyas, Gaudiyas basically means worshippers of Radharani. And those who are Vaishnavas, they are worshippers of Vishnu. Those who are worshippers of Krishna, they are Karshnas. But Gaudiyas are exclusive whole and soul worshippers of Srimati Radharani. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita is the heartbeat of Gaudiyas. If we don't know what our Swamini, if we don't know what our Yutheshwari, if we don't know what our Praneshwari is going through, if we don't know what Radharani is going through, then how are we Gaudiyas? We should know what Radharani is going through. So this is the best gift of Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, that they have benedicted this world by giving this unparalleled Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the only prayer that we all should have is Kita Janma Ho Yata Tuva Das Bahirmukha Brahma Janma Nahiyas. Hey Krishna, in my next life, I don't know what I'm going to become in my next life. Krishna says that we perform bhakti, we will get human life, but we should always walk with the hope that we will not get a human life. So our bhakti intensity will only increase. If we know that next life is going to be an animal form, then we will do as much bhakti as possible in this life, because in animal species, we cannot do bhakti. When we know that next life is a human form, that's when we become slackened. That's when we take it for granted. Because we feel, cheek it, this life we have done 25%, next life I will do 25%. But if we know next life is an animal form, then we will try to give 75-80% in this life itself. So we should always walk with this hope that next life is an animal species and this is the last human life I've got. So as much bhakti I can do, I should do. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita Janma Ho Yata Tuva Das. My dear Lord, next life, if I become a Kita Janma, if I become an ant, give me this benediction that I become an ant in the association of your devotees. I become your servant, even if I become an ant. Kita Janma Ho Yata Tuva Das Bahirmukha Brahma Janma Nahi As. Hey Krishna, hey Radharani, don't make me a Bahirmukha Brahma. That is not my desire. I want to be a servant of the servant of your servants. I want to serve Radha and Krishna. This is my only hope. Even if I become an ant, hey Krishna, give me this benediction that I become an ant in the association of devotees. And this is the same mood that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami had. Raghunath Das Goswami is our Prayojan Acharya. He is teaching the goal. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, Tavai vasmi, na jivami twaya vina, iti vigyaya devitvam nayamam charanantikam. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami says, Tavai Vasmi, O Radharani, I am yours, literally begging. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami for 45 years wept and cried in Radhakund. So he's saying, Tavai Vasmi, Hey Radhike, I am yours, Na Jivami Tvaya Vina, I have no one apart from you. Iti Vigyaya Devitvam, Hey Radhike, please understand this, that I have no one apart from you. Nayamam Charanantikam. By understanding this, please give me the service at your lotus feet. I don't want anything else. This is my only hope that I ever ask for, to desire service at your lotus feet. The lotus feet of Radharani and the lotus feet of Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami teaches by example. And not just holds true for Radharani and Krishna. This is the same prayer that we should have for Sri Guru also, who is Radha Priya Sakhi. Without Sri Guru's mercy, we can never understand these very esoteric Jalakeli pastimes of Radharani and Krishna. Having said this, I stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samasta Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. A very nice class. Thank you all the devotees for listening. If anybody has any, or Parima, Mahaprabhu has.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my Dandavat Pranams. It was a wonderful, wonderful nectarian class. Like it's like tasting ambrosia. Prabhuji, I have this one confusion, and I hope I'm correct in my understanding. Radharani and Krishna were married in Bhandirvan, and Brahmaji actually presided over the marriage. And I've even heard that he was married to each one of the gopis also in some pastimes. So was this all kept a secret to the general society to develop the Parkiya Rasa? Is that understanding correct?
So the understanding is marriage happens between two souls. In this world, we find marriage happens between two souls. One person cannot marry himself. That is not marriage. Marriage means marriage between two souls. But Radha and Krishna are one soul. Radha Krishna ekatma, they are one soul. So even if they externally show that they are getting married, that's not marriage because they are one soul. How can one soul get married to each other? So Radha and Krishna externally, as far as the pastime is concerned, Brahmaji at Bandirvan, that is right, he was presiding as the guest of honor. He was like the pandit. But traditionally, if we find marriage is between two souls and Radha and Krishna are one Atma. And again, the same point that you mentioned that he also married all the Braja Gopis. That is also true. In Garga Samhita, there is this pastime that after Brahma Vimohan Leela, after 1 year, Brahmaji returned all the cows and Krishna's friends. So at that time, Krishna, he expanded as all his friends and he married all
Facebook.
So that pastime is there in Garga Samhita, where for that 1 year, Krishna becomes all the cowherd boys and Krishna marries all the Braja Gopis because that was their heart's desire. But again, having said this, as you mentioned rightly, that these pastimes are hidden. These are not known to all the Brajavasis. The Sakhas and even Vatsalyaras, those who are in Sakhyaras and Vatsalyaras are not aware of many of these pastimes that Krishna performs with the Braja Gopis. So in Vrindavan, Parakhiras is still maintained that Krishna is not married. And as I mentioned earlier, marriage happens between two souls and Radha and Krishna are one. Radha Krishna ekatma. So marriage never happens between one soul, even though as far as pastime it is demonstrated, but Radha and Krishna can never get married because they're eternally one soul.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Wonderful explanation. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Arjun Sakar Prabhu, it was such a beautiful class, very comprehensive. I really like the mood in which you presented the class. It sets a platform for the future verses. So it was brilliantly presented. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I was very tempted to speak on the next verses as to what are the water pastimes. But unfortunately, I didn't want to steal the nectar that Adi Gadar Prabhu is going to present tomorrow. So that's the reason I did not go as to what are the water pastimes that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, and what are those water pastimes that he told Swarup Damodar Goswami. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your very kind words. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. But this is so important, because if we just jump into the rest of the verses, no one will understand anything in the right mood. You have set the platform, the foundation, which is so important. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Arjun Sakha Prabhu. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Arjun Sakha Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. First of all, I should apologize, ask forgiveness from you, that even you were so busy in your schedule, I, you know, literally forced you to come and give class. So I gave you such a short time that to prepare also. But you were awesome, Prabhu. You are brilliant. You are so spontaneous that I don't even feel like that you need any kind of preparation. Class was brilliant. And again, the same point, what Preeti Vilasini Mataji said, I want to say the same thing, that yes, you set up the platform. Pastimes, yes, we can hear, but to understand the pastimes in the right mood and the right consciousness, that is very, very important. And you have set that stage for all of us to understand what tomorrow we are going to hear. We'll now hear it in the right consciousness. So really, really thank you. Very, very grateful to you for coming on the call, for accepting our request, and for setting up this beautiful stage for all of us. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you once again. And apologize also for giving you such a short time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, please don't apologize. I really thank you, because if not for this service, probably I would just... maybe I would be just wasting my time, but because you you engaged me in this service, I had to get all my thoughts, and I had this opportunity to speak something. So I thank you very much, and please do not apologize. If there is something like this in the future, please feel free. I am always there at the service of the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. I mean, wonderful is not enough to explain, but still, that's all I have. Prabhu, as you mentioned, I mean, it is not exactly relevant, but I would still, because you have mentioned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Vaishnava Bhajan, in that, he's saying, even if I become an insect, let it be in the house of a devotee, but Bahirmukha Janma Nahi As. So when we right now in our morning Srimad Bhagavatam class, we are hearing Bharat Maharaj's story and how he was attached to the deer. And when we enter into Krishna consciousness, I have been hearing that, you know, we are like, it's like a horror story or a nightmare story, you know. Even if you think anything at the time of death apart from Krishna, you will become that. But as we are somehow progressing, crawling our way to through Krishna consciousness, I feel that like right now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in previous to that verse. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, if you desire me to become born again, to come again, so let it be again in the house of, you know, let me have the association of devotees. So so Bharat Maharaj, if we see, he was very fortunate. I mean, even to become Bharat Maharaj's life also, at least in three life he went back. So for me, I don't even know how many lives it is. So it is actually not that of a scary story if I see it right now where I'm seeing it from. And also, even if he became a deer, he still had the memory of, you know, what the mistake he had done, and he didn't want to go ahead with the same thing what he did. So would you enlighten a little bit, Prabhu? I'm sorry if it is off topic, but because you sang that bhajan and I keep thinking about this bhajan and Bharat Maharaj continuously, because every day morning we're hearing about Bharat Maharaj.
So if I understand it right, the question is, in our next life, just like Bharat Maharaj, even though he slipped, but he was able to remember. So is the question that in the next life, will we also be in a position to start off from where we finished, or will we again get a human life, or what exactly is the question? Like, if you sum it up in one line.
Yeah, it is like, Prabhu, it's like, I'm not sure if Bharat Maharaj's story is a scary story or it is a hope-giving story. That's my question. Does it make sense now? Yeah.
Right, okay. So there are various ways of looking at it. First thing is, the pastime of Bharat Maharaj is meant for us. No one falls from the platform of Bhav. It doesn't work that way. If someone is on the platform of Bhav, Bhav comes after Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, then Bhav. Nishtha is when your faith is pakka. When your faith is pakka, how will your faith shake? Then Ruchi, which means you have got taste. Then is Asakti. And then is Bhav. Bhav is when emotions like waves, called as Sanchari Bhavs, they are rising in one's heart. When waves of Bhav are rising in one's heart, there is no way there can be fall down. But the pastime of Bharat Maharaj is there to illustrate to all of us that if there is negligence, you may fall down. If there is too much material attachment, you will fall down. But no one falls from the platform of Bhav. And no one, the platform of Bhav, will have material attachment. It doesn't work that way. You cannot keep one feet here and another feet there. It's either both the feet in Bhav or both the feet in material attachments. But the pastime of Bharat Maharaj is to give us an instruction that having come to Krishna consciousness, we shouldn't think that, okay, now I'm started to do bhakti, which means next life I will get devotional form. I will get a human form. I can continue from where we are. We should always think that there is a sword hanging on our head. If we are negligent, if we don't take a bhakti seriously, then there is a chance we may also slip down. As you rightly said, Krishna says, Anta kalecha maam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. Going back to Godhead is not easy. It takes many, many, many lifetimes. When Prabhupada said you can go back in one lifetime, that requires tremendous amount of surrender. It requires tremendous amount of surrender. So Bharat Maharaj is showing us that if there is negligence in bhakti, you will fall down. But from the platform of Bhav, no one falls down. That we should always remember. But if there are too many material attachments, then next life is very risky. Like, for example, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru was the first prime minister, I believe. And after he departed, Srila Prabhupada was once in a morning walk. And this topic of Nehru came up. And one of Prabhupada's disciples, they said, oh, Prabhupada, Nehru did this and Nehru did that. And what Prabhupada said was shocking. Prabhupada said, so what? He is now a dog in Sweden. This is what Prabhupada said. Now, this is very difficult for us to accept, but Prabhupada doesn't make stories. Prabhupada doesn't cook up. Prabhupada said he would have been the prime minister, but so what? There was no bhakti. And if human life, no bhakti, you will slip down to animal species. So Prabhupada said, prime minister, so what? He is now a dog in Sweden. So we should always remember that there is a sword hanging. If we don't take a bhakti seriously, then next life, kita janma, we will slip down. If that attitude is there, then there will be constant check and there will be constant seriousness. But Bharat Maharaj is, from his pastime, is teaching that little negligence, little attachment. Attachment not only means animal attachment, it can be any attachment. Ata graha suta apta vittai janasya mohoya aham mameti bhagavatam. Whether family life, whether house, whether money. Ata graha suta apta vittai janasya mohoya aham mameti. Shukadev Goswami says the jiva, like a cocoon, he just creates a web and he is not able to exit from that web. And this happens with everyone. It happens with everyone, every jiva. So this attachment of Bharat Maharaj that is demonstrated is not just animal attachment. It can be any attachment that Bhagavatam describes. So we should always be serious of this fact that if there is negligence, I will fall down. Even if I'm born in a Brahmana family, it doesn't matter. Ajamil fell down. Born in a Brahmana family, Ajamil fell down. So even if we are Brahmanas, we may be initiated, but if you are not serious in bhakti, if you are not performing, then we should always think that I will fall down. There is all chances that I will fall down to the animal species. It's almost, I give this example, it's almost like a snakes and ladder game. 1, 2, 3, 4, and goes up to 100. That 100 is Golok Vrindavan. We are right now in 99, which means human life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are the different evolutions that we have done. Reptile, trees, birds, mammals, so on and so forth. Jalajanava Lakshani Sthavra Lakshavimshati, the Padma Puran describes. We have evolved from 1, 2, 3, 4, and now we are at 99 human life. 100 is Golok Vrindavan. We have to just keep 1 foot in Golok Vrindavan. But now, attachment to material objects is like that snake that will bring us down. That is why you see it's a snake. In Bharat Maharaj also it's an animal. Here also it's a snake. So if there are attachments, then from 99, 100 is Goloka Vrindavan. From that 99, we will slip down and back to the animal species. But in the snakes and ladder, we also find there are ladders from 25 straight to 75. What are those ladders? Sadhu Sangha. Sadhus can give something in our heart that no one else can give. Sajatiya ashray stigde sadhu sangha swatovare. Rupa Goswami, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Associating with sadhus means associating with those sadhus who are exalted than us. Not those sadhus who are on the same level. If we associate with sadhus on the same level, we will never get anything in bhakti. But sajatiya ashray stigde sadhu sangha swatovare. Swatovare means associating with those who are advanced. And they are like those ladders. They will help us propel in our path to Goloka Vrindavan. So Bharat Maharaj pastime is hope giving. At the same time, it's a caution. Hope giving for the fact that from bhav, no one will fall down. Caution for the fact that if I am negligent in bhakti, if I slacken, then there is every hope that I will slip down to the animal species. And then whether I will get a human form or not, whether I will get devotee association or not, whether I will meet Prabhupada disciples or not, whether I will have Prabhupada books or not, whether I have ISKCON temples or not, we don't know. This is the life. Like Ayendra Prabhu would say, time is now, need is enormous. We have to press the accelerator and go full steam as much as possible in this one human life. In this one human life, as much as possible. So Bharat Maharaj is hope giving, at the same time is a caution for all of us. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hopefully, I remember every word that you said till I reach that 100th point and do not slip down, hopefully. And I seek your prayers, Prabhu, and blessing. Prabhu, the prayer that you said, Raghunath Das Goswami, is for Radharani, where do we read it, Prabhu?
I can maybe share it with Kirtida Mataji or Preeti Vilasan
Mataji. Okay, definitely. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Dhanavad Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, do you have time for more questions?
Maybe one last question. It's already 9:22 here.
Okay. Panishwari Mataji, you can go ahead.
Mataji, mine's just a comment, so the other Mataji can go. It's not, no worries.
Okay, say the comment then.
Okay. My comment is just, I was thinking about this pastime, and one of the thoughts that I had was that just as Radharani, so many problems were having, she was having as they were crossing the boat, you know, different things. She had to throw her jewels and this and that. And in that same way, ultimately she had to grab onto Krishna. So, and then she only knew it was Krishna when she saw his flute. So I was just thinking in that same way, in our bhakti, we have to get rid of a lot of things. And to get rid of those lot of things, we probably get into a lot of difficulties. But we have to understand that Krishna is behind it. And we have to see his flute and everything. We in all the problems that we get, we need to see his flute. So as quickly as possible, that was my comment. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Wonderful. Wonderful realization. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Panishwari Mataji. Pooja Mataji, you can go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Please accept my most humble obeisances. Thank you so much ki aapne mere liye time nikala, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my question is how to cry internally for Guru, truly. And how to get the greed to serve the lotus feet of Guru. Please, Prabhuji, please guide in that matter.
So I believe that we are not initiated right now, right? And we are aspiring,
yes,
for
some. I am student.
Srila Gurgovinda Maharaj would say that, Gurgovinda Maharaj in his emphatic way, Gurgovinda Maharaj would say, if you seek, you shall find. Gurgovinda Maharaj would say, if you seek, you shall find. Which means if there is a desire, you will find. We cannot see Sadhu Guru. What can we see with our material eyes? Guru is never seen with our eyes. Guru is always seen with our ears. Always by ears. We see Sadhu Guru with our ears. In the present day, there are so many so-called gurus who externally have their name as Guru, but don't speak anything about Krishna. Don't speak Bhagavatam. They don't speak Chaitanya Charitamrita. They don't speak anything about Shastra. And it's so fascinating that people are also manda sumanda, as Shastra says. People are also not very intelligent, that they think that if you speak from mind, we are more qualified. But this is not true quality. A real sadhu guru is someone who speaks from the shastra. Bas naam sadguru rakhne se koi sadguru nahi banta. Acharan bhi vaise hone chahiye. We should follow the shastra. So a pure devotee is someone who follows the shastra and speaks only from the shastra, like Srila Prabhupada, like Prabhupada's disciples, not changing here, there for any personal gain. Like, for example, you have a postman. You write a letter and you give it to the postman. Now, a genuine postman is someone who will give that message to the other person without changing. If he changes something after you have written a letter, if he adds something, then you will say, hey, wait a minute, you are not a correct postman. You are not authentic. You are not bona fide. Your job is to just give it as it is. That is the job of Sri Guru. That is the job of pure Vaishnavas. They take the message of Krishna as it is, like Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Taking the message as it is without any interpretation. Nothing for personal gain. No dhanam, no janam, no nothing. No, nothing personally involved. No strings attached. And giving it to the common masses. The message of Sri Krishna. That is the definition of bona fide guru. So in order to search for a guru, first we should know what the definition of guru is. If I don't know what the definition of guru is, then every single person I will see, I will think they are a guru. Just by having white hair and long dress and long hair doesn't mean I am a guru. Guru has some qualification. What are those qualifications? Nirapeksha munim shantim nirvairim samadarshina anuvrajamyaham nityam poye yatrangi renubi. Canto 11, chapter 14, text 15, 16, Bhagavad. Krishna gives the qualification of guru. Guru has five qualities. Anyone who has these five qualities is a bona fide guru. First, nirapeksham. Koi apeksha nahi rakhte. He has no desire. If something comes to him, he is happy. If something doesn't come to him, he doesn't blame. He doesn't crimp. Nirapeksha. Shantim. Always calm. Nirvairim. Non-envious. Samadarshina. Nirapeksham. Samadarshina means he sees everyone equally. And munim means he is quiet. Nirapeksha. Munim. Shantim. Nirvairim. Samadarshina. Anuvrajamyaham nityam puye yatrangi renubi. Krishna says, anyone who has these five qualities, I walk behind them and the dust from their lotus feet purifies me, Krishna says. So these are the five qualities a bona fide guru has to have. Nirapeksha, munim, shantim, nirvairim, samadarshina. Anyone who has these five qualities is a bona fide guru. So now we get to know about these five qualities, not through our eyes, but through our ears. By hearing Shastra, that's how we got to know that these are the five qualities. So Gaur Govinda Maharaj would always say that Sadhu Guru has to be seen through our ears. Through our ears. That is the first thing. Secondly, we cry for Krishna. Without crying, Sadhu Guru will not walk. There has to be some desire. Krishna will fulfill. Krishna will reciprocate. But there has to be some desire. Krishna says, Ye yatha mam. If we have expressed this desire, then Krishna will send a guru in our life. We may be sitting in one corner of the world. Doesn't matter. If we are crying for Sri Guru, Sri Guru will walk and knock our door. There are so many examples this way. Prabhupada disciples many times were at some place and Prabhupada just stormed into their lives. He just knocked their lives. If there is some desire that, hey Krishna, I don't know where your pure devotees are. All I can do is I can take shelter of Prabhupada's books. You know where your pure sadhu guru is. You send them to me. Because Sri Guru is not different from Krishna. Sakshat dharitvena samasta shastre ukta sthathava yata eva sadvi kintu prabhorya priya eva tasya vande guru Sri Charanarvindam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Chakur says, Sri Guru is Sakshat Hari. He is Krishna himself. So Krishna knows where he has expanded as Sri Guru. How can we with our eyes understand? So we pray to Krishna and study the Shastra and hear from devotees. In due course, Krishna will send a sadhu guru in our life. And this desire has to be constant. Not that like a wave, it is fluctuating. Aaj desire hai, then there is no desire for a month, then the desire rises. Guru Govinda Maharaj would say, there has to be restless nights. There has to be sleepless nights. If we have no Sri Guru, we have to have sleepless nights. And even if we have a Sri Guru, we should still have sleepless nights as to how I can serve him better. So without enthusiasm, Utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya, without utsaha, without enthusiasm, without lobha, without greed, nothing comes free in Krishna consciousness. Whether it is Sri Guru or whether it is advancement. So we chant the holy name, we hear Harikatha, we read the books of Prabhupada, pray sincerely to Srila Prabhupada that Prabhupada, you are a pure devotee. You tell me where your pure devotees are. My mind will cheat me. My mind has cheated me for billions of lifetimes. I will not trust my mind. Prabhupada, I trust you more than my mind. You send a pure devotee in my life. I will accept him. And Prabhupada will send. Why will he not send? Prabhupada has come for our benefit. Prabhupada is still there. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill who say Vaishnavas die, thou art still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live and living spread the holy name around. So Prabhupada is still present. If we pray to Prabhupada, Prabhupada will send a Sadhu Guru in our life. So if I have to summarize, first chant the holy name sincerely. Be in the association of devotees, very important. Be always in the association of devotees. Read the books of Prabhupada and pray to Prabhupada that, oh Prabhupada, you send a pure devotee in my life. Prabhupada will definitely fulfill. Krishna will definitely fulfill. Hare Krishna.
Thanks a million, Prabhuji. Thanks a million.
Okay, thank you so much, Arjun Sakha Prabhu. Anjana Gopika Mataji, are you there?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your kind association and all the question answer. Very nice. If there is no question or comment for Prabhuji, we can end the call. Once a kalpatari ves chakra pras in the way, Vishapatita nam pavane. Amanant koti ves namrim the key.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. Prabhuji ki jai.
Jai.
Haribol.